SWAC video on LA's J20 protest that was shown at Al Gore's birthday party. She was also an email pen pal with Newsweek senior editor Jonathan Alter when he wrote her about one of her stories. She is a poet with infinite creative genius. Please welcome the award-winning writer of the website Bush Brothers Banana Republic, Tammy the Diva Telfus.
I'm new at this. The writing is something I do a lot of. Speaking is not something I do a lot of, except for one-on-one, which those of you who know me know is true. But I sat and I wrote a speech to read to you, and sitting back behind the stage practicing, I decided not to do that. I decided to talk to you the way that I talk to you if it was just anyone who would. First of all, I want to thank you all for being here. I know that you didn't have to be. 4 years is a long time to stand watch, and since Supreme Court justices are confirmed for life, 20 years can be a long time to stand watch. So I appreciate your dedication and you showing up when you didn't have to. I don't know how all of you got here, but I want to tell you how I got here. Let me rephrase that. I thought I was radicalized by the impeachment of our last elected president, but I found out that I wasn't when my democracy was stolen from me in November. I had intended, after volunteering for the election, to go back to work, and I intended in December, after all the votes were counted, to go back to work. That never happened, and so I started my website about 2 weeks after the election, and that's what I do now. It's the Bush Brothers Banana Republic Resistance, Q2K.com, and the people that come to my site go by many names. They're the resistance fighters. They're the Americans formerly known as voters. They're the jaded. They're people who feel exactly the way you do, who maybe don't show up for these marches, but who exist even though the media ignores them. Some of the things we found out, the jaded, the Americans formerly known as voters, the resistance fighters, is we found out that we're black, all of us. According to the media, everyone in this crowd is black. They say that the only people upset about having their democracy stolen are black Americans. Well, they say it, and they're the media, so they must know. So when they said it, I changed my race formally. And somewhere in this crowd today is a woman named Lynn from Berkeley who welcomed me into the black race officially. I don't know where she is. She's never seen me, but she's my sister now. Our emails are, "Dear sis, love sis." Lynn promised me that if anybody ever was offended by the fact that I claimed to be black, that she would explain to me that I am just a very light-skinned member of her extended family, and that there isn't a black person in America that doesn't have a relative close to as light as me. We also found out that we were fringe. The media told us that there's nothing mainstream about expecting the votes to be counted. All of us out here, men, women, old, young, longtime activists or rookie freedom fighters, we're fringe. We don't count. We're upset over nothing. There's nothing to be upset about. The great thing about the internet is that within a day of George W. Bush saying that and the media spinning it as true, the internet popped a site called fringefolk.com. The majority fringe. For the first time in American history, the majority, the plurality of the people that are out there voting and being politically active are fringe. We also found out that it is more immoral, it is more unethical to have a sexual peccadillo than it is to steal an election. This came as a big shock to me. I had somehow figured that if you disenfranchised, as La Antigua wrote in The Nation, over 200,000 voters intentionally, if you had 200,000 victims, that would be a more serious crime than, let's say, cheating on your husband. That's what I thought, but I found out that isn't true. That's what all the jaded found out, and this was the shock to me. I really did want to believe the media, because the other option, believing them to be liars, means that we're up against something huge and dangerous.
Yes! Yes!
And we are. point is, the media tells us what to believe about ourselves. And there are people out there who don't show up to these protests, but who have access to the internet, who are willing to sign their name to letters saying, I feel exactly the same way that you do. I'm not eating the way that I used to. I'm not sleeping the way that I used to. I don't feel the way that I used to. America is not what it used to be. This isn't the United States of America anymore. This is the Bush Brothers Banana Republic. It is a place where we hold elections so that people think that they are free to elect their leaders. But if the counting of the votes means that the person that the powerful one elected maybe isn't going to get to be the president, if there's even that outside chance, the powerful can put a stop to it, and the media can say that that's legitimate. But that is legitimate? Legitimate means legal. That doesn't cut any ice with me. There was a time in America when it was legal to own slaves, when it was legal to beat your wife, to beat your children, when it was legal to fire someone for being disabled, as if the Supreme Court doesn't try to make that happen again with the Sullivan decision. There were times when horrible injustices were not only legal in America, but mainstream, and speaking out against them made you fringe. For 30 years, we moved in the other direction, towards greater freedom and a greater franchise. And November of 2000 put a stop to that. The Republicans had slowed it down for the last 12 years, but this election put a stop to that progress. We're moving backwards. Look at the Supreme Court the extreme court decisions. The filthy five. Since the election, what have they told us? They've told us that you're disabled, you have rights unless you work for the state, unless you attend a state university. If you're the disabled and you rely on your individual state, California, Texas, where I'm from, which explains a lot, Mississippi, wherever you're from, if your state decides it doesn't want to have laws on the books protecting you, you don't have any freedom. What else has the Supreme Court said? The Supreme Court has told us that we now live in a police state. You can be driving down the street, be stopped by a cop, and arrested and detained for, and get this, not wearing your seatbelt. I would like to know from anyone out there in the crowd how you prove you were wearing your seatbelt. Does anybody have any ideas for me? How you prove you signaled the lane change? What do? Put out an ad in the newspaper and said, did anybody see me get pulled over? The Supreme Court has changed America. It is taking away our freedoms one by one. We're holding the line at 5-4, but that could change any day. And people say that they want to see the filthy five drummed out, but I'll tell you what, after what happened in election 2000, I'm more scared at who Bush will appoint to replace them. I'm terrified. I've never felt so threatened in my life. The impossible happened. The unexpected happened.
She's talking about you.
Something I never believed would happen happened. And so I work for the destruction, politically, of the extreme court, the filthy five injustices, the Bush brothers, their enablers, and any and every person that had anything to do with denying the right to vote and have the vote count of any American. I include in that the people in Manatee and Escambia counties that turned off the optical scan ballots' abilities to tell a voter that their vote was not going to count. I count in that people that worked at polling places and shut down early with people in line. I have a long list of people that I consider criminal. I call them co-conspirators, criminal accomplices to the theft of my democracy. And something all of you should know is, you're with family right now. And I'll tell you why we're family. Because in America, every single one of you is the royal family. That is the American dream. The American dream is not a great house, a great car. Maybe that's part of it for some people, but the American dream has always been about ever wider freedoms and an ever greater franchise. It's never been about anything else. And so I use very strong language when I talk about the people I consider responsible for this mess we're in now. I say that I work for their destruction, their utter political destruction. I've been asked, I don't know if you know that Mad Grandmothers had one of their members visited by the Secret Service because she acted on an action alert on my site. A Florida congressman attacked gay students who visited him to ask for protection. And I asked people to write him and discourage him from letting his hate flag fly so freely. She wrote a letter to him and the Secret Service showed up on her doorstep. And I was shocked. I read her letter. There was nothing there for anybody to be concerned about. I use very strong language on my website and people ask me, do I want to see Bush and Thugs Inc. dead? And I tell them no. I want them all to live to be at least 200. And I want them to spend the next 150, 160 years looking into the eyes of every person that they meet and knowing that we know that they're criminals, that they're thieves, that they didn't trust us, that they lied to us, that our votes meant nothing to them, and that given the opportunity and given the support of colleagues that would make it happen and help it happen, they would and will do it again. It's not enough to say that Bush is not legitimate. That's a neutral statement, neither good nor bad. We have to say that he's a criminal. And we have to say that every person who put him where he is a criminal. And if it isn't a crime to steal an election in America, I'd like to propose a new federal law making it a crime. We could call it the Bush Brothers Act of 2001. Q2K will last as long as we let it last. And if we're angry enough and committed enough, and if we speak to enough people, I'm convinced if everyone knew what we know, if everyone read what we read, if everyone listened to the people we listen to, and if everyone cared as much as we did, this would be over tomorrow. Bush would get on a plane and fly as far away from us as he could get because he'd be scared.
Send him to Cuba.
So I'd love to see him discredited, and I'd love to see them all discredited. As I said when I started, I'm not a professional speaker, and I have no idea how to get off the stage, but before I go, I want to read a little something that I wrote. By the way, Jonathan Alter wrote me about a piece I did called The Death of Democracy. It was an obituary, which I dated on the 9th of December, not the 12th. Most people count the death of democracy on the day that this Bush v. Gore decision came down. For me, I didn't need to wait those 72 hours. As soon as they stopped the counting of votes, as soon as they said they had the right to, I knew that it was over. And I changed from Tammy into the diva. And I went online and I got crazy. And I intend to stay crazy and committed, loud, obnoxious, black fringe for the rest of my life or until I get my country back, whichever comes first. But another piece that I wrote that got a really strong response was inspired by an interview I did with LA Weekly. The journalist that wrote the interview described me as having sat down and began my tale of woe, which sounded very poetic and reminded me of the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. And I wrote a piece called The Rhyme of the Political Prisoner, where I argued that every American is now a de facto political prisoner. We didn't choose to be where we are. We're not free, which means we're in bondage, which makes us prisoners. And I just want to read a little bit of the closing of the poem to you. And if I get all verklempt and choke up and start bawling, I'll just leave and you bring on the next person. Because this stuff still gets to me. This is part 4. There is nothing lost that cannot be found if sought, nor any evil that prevails, nor any damnable lie when exposed and resisted and fought. And so, attentive protesters, you find me thus, telling my tale to those who will hear, speaking my truth to the courageous of us who must fight on for what we hold dear. Who won, who lost, we may never know, Hero Stevens mused in his dissent. But the people did lose and were overthrown by the message the injustices sent. That the ballot is not sacred, valued, inviolate, where that ballot's preference might be. That the injustices selection is not the candidate that ascends to the presidency. And that the court itself, once held above the fire of partisan flame, is a star chamber deserving of nothing but the people cursing its name. To save one's life is to save the world entire is a Jewish axiom now of great fame. To save one vote is to save the vote entire. It's a principle whose meaning is the same. So easily dismiss the singular life or the singular vote in this case. Perhaps some say we should let go of strife and help our bruised nation save face. Well, for me, it matters little at the end of my journey that my comfort was forever at peak. It matters greatly, however, that I spoke my mind truly and that justice I always did seek. So I fight on, even if it's alone, for all that America must be. I hold her, you see, to the spirit and tone of a promise she once made to me, that her rulers would be her people, the people. That promise a ruler makes me, and I will not cease my descent until America is once again free. Thank you.